open wherever you think we're going to open. Let's just see how you walk by faith. Hallelujah. Can you, Genesis, I hear Genesis 1:1. Do I hear Exodus 3:17? John 25:67. John, here we go. 2 James 2:13. Praise God. Hallelujah. I go ahead and open up to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. I know that's what you were going to say. I'd rather turn to Barry chapter 12, Brother Martin. Hallelujah. John 15. Jesus is not far away from His crucifixion at this point. And He's cramming a whole lot of information, as it were, into the disciples. And just look at verse 20. Jesus says, "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also." Now let's think about this for a few moments. He says, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Well, we've talked about this in the past. And another way to say that is, the student is not above his teacher. So if you're going to follow in the footsteps of your teacher, then whatever you see happen to your teacher is probably going to happen to you. Or at least it's something that if it does happen, it shouldn't surprise you. And after he says that, he says, if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. All right, let's think for a moment. You know, when you read back through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you can see several occasions where Jesus was persecuted. And the persecution, it really didn't come from the Gentiles. It came from the Jews. Now, was Jesus persecuted? You know, He opened blind eyes, right? And deaf ears, things like that. Was He persecuted for opening blind eyes? Was He persecuted for opening deaf ears? No. He was persecuted for doing those things on the Sabbath. Opening the blind eyes and the deaf ears and making the lame to walk and all that, that really wasn't the issue. It was the fact that He did it on the Sabbath. Remember the one situation where the lady had been bowed over, spirit of infirmity, for 18 years? And Jesus ministered to her, says, "You're free, loosed," and all this other, and, you know, she's healed. And the ruler of the synagogue got really upset. And he said, 6 days in the week you could come and get healed, but not on the Sabbath. So healing wasn't the issue. It was doing it on the Sabbath. And the thing that's amazing is that Jesus did not, I mean, not one time in all the healings that took place, not one time did He break the Sabbath in what He did. Now, they tried to accuse Him of breaking the Sabbath, and if they had had a legitimate cause to accuse and prosecute for breaking the Sabbath, they would have done it. Because remember, more than one occasion it talked about how that they got together to try and figure out how they could, you know, kill Him and all these, and yet they couldn't come up with anything. So now and then they'd send somebody to try and trap Him in His words. Is it right to pay tribute to Caesar or not? You know, those kinds of things. And yet, in everything that He did, He never broke the Sabbath. The one time, the fellow with the withered hand, Jesus never touched the man, nothing. He just said, "Stretch forth your hand," and boom, the guy stretches forth his hand and he's healed. And these people were furious. I mean, they were, you know, what? He can't do this. Well, obviously He can, He just did. And now here's the thing, now think about this for a minute. He kept healing people on the Sabbath, did He not? You think it ever crossed their mind, how come God's not striking this guy dead? You think they ever wondered how come God's not doing anything to this fella? He keeps breaking the Sabbath. Is He really? No, because they couldn't find anything to charge Him with. If they could have, they would have. So He really wasn't breaking the Sabbath. What was He breaking then? Good. Their traditions. That's what He was breaking. And that's what got them so upset. Now here in John chapter 15, verse 20, he made the statement, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Why was he persecuted? It wasn't because he did good things for people. And it wasn't because, it wasn't because he fed people. It wasn't because he was filled with the Holy Ghost. We can go through all these different, it wasn't because, what it comes down to, they persecuted him because he broke their traditions, not the law. And here's what's interesting. I was thinking about this. And he spoke to me, and he said, they actually persecuted me for using the law to expose their traditions. In other words, he literally spoke the truth to them. Here's what they were doing. They were telling the people one thing, and then Jesus, he was correcting their doctrine. You're telling the people this, but have you not read? Remember? Have you not heard? Remember the one guy comes to him and he says, you know, how do I inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, what's in the law? What do you see? And all this other. So he takes the guy. Now, why did he do that? Now, we know that he went about preaching and teaching the kingdom, and he was establishing kingdom principles that would come into rule, so to speak, after his crucifixion, resurrection, and all that. But remember, he was made under the law. So when it came to issues of the law, he still had to comply with the law because the law was still in effect. So when some of these things came up, and these guys were, but it's this, but it's that, and you this, and you that, Jesus would actually turn around and he'd use the law that they were trying to quote from, so to speak, and he would correct them with their own law, exposing them for what they were. Well, that's one of the reasons they persecuted him. It was because he was using the truth they were supposed to live under to confront their wrong teachings, their traditions. And he even said, you make the word of God of none effect because of your traditions. Well, they couldn't stand this. Because they had the people hoodwinked into believing that we're telling you the truth. And now all of a sudden here comes this Jesus, not even a Levite for crying out loud, and he's correcting us. Who are you to correct us? We're the priests. We're the scribes. We're the Pharisees. Who are you? And Jesus, well, I'm Son of God. So I think I should know some of these things. Well, he said if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. All right, now let's think about this for a moment. Why would they persecute the disciples, the apostles? Why would they do that? Why did they persecute Jesus? Coming against the traditions, absolutely. So, we jump ahead in this, and we won't turn to it, but in the book of Acts, you see what people referred to as the establishing of the church. And remember the story? Peter and John are going into the temple. A lame man, silver and gold have I none. In Jesus' name, guy is healed. And the Pharisees and all the rulers and so forth, they got all upset. Now, why did they get upset? Because, remember when they asked them, you know, by what power, in whose name are you doing this? In Jesus, you know, the one you crucified, and on and on. Well, again, it was because their traditions were being hammered. You know, here's a guy that's been lame all his life, and suddenly, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, he gets healed. Not through their ministry, the scribes and Pharisees, not through their ministry, but through the ministry of two fishermen who are unlearned, had not been to Bible college, and yet they speak the name of Jesus to this guy. A man that was killed, you know, not too many days prior to this moment. So they get all upset and they begin to persecute Peter and John because they're being exposed for trying to live by something that no longer is in effect. Now, turn over to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And if you look beginning in verse 1, you know, Paul has written this. He says, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto." Now, it almost sounds like, he says, we're appointed thereunto. You're appointed to what? Afflictions. Wait a minute, Paul. Hold on there. You're appointed to afflictions? You mean it's God's will for you to be afflicted? I don't understand this, Paul. Well, first off, let's find out, why was Paul afflicted? Why were they going through these afflictions? If you turn back, same book, chapter 2, verse 14. I'll tell you what, no, back up to verse 13. "For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men." Now look at this. "Forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost." In other words, what were they being persecuted for? They were being persecuted for truth, were they not? So, he says, listen, don't be upset about the fact that these afflictions are taking place. Don't be moved by these afflictions, because it's just a part of what we're appointed to. Did God instruct, no, let me rephrase this. Did God plan ahead of time for them to be afflicted? No. It goes all the way back to what we read there in John chapter 15, where Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Why would they persecute me? Because of truth. Because if they've continued in my word, then they will continue in your word. Well, why would they continue in my word, Jesus? Because if you take my word and give it to them, they'll continue in it. If they've continued in my word, they'll continue in your word, because the word you're giving them is the word you receive from me. However, there are going to be those people who are not going to receive the word from the Lord. This is where it's tough. I mean, super tough. Remember we talked about Ephesians. Go ahead and turn over there. Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, where it talks about how he gave, you know, the pastors and the teachers, etc., and so forth, for the perfecting of the saints. And it goes on down to verse 14 and says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about by with every wind of doctrine. Now, here's what's going to happen. The more that you continue in the word of the Lord, the more you're going to be persecuted. Do you remember what Jesus talked about, how that he came to set at variance one person against another? And he gave examples in a couple of places, you know, mother against the daughter, and the daughter and the mother and the son. And I mean, all this, you know, like this conflict that he's presenting. And it almost sounds like that he's stirring up trouble. You know, Jesus, why would you do that? I thought, you know, you're supposed to, like, make everything, you know. He said, well, I didn't come to bring peace. Well, I don't understand, Jesus. You're the Prince of Peace. Why didn't you come to bring peace? Because I came to establish truth. And here's the thing about it. When he talked about setting people at variance with each other, he wasn't talking about, I came down just to cause trouble. What he was saying is, I came down to establish truth, and in some cases, establishing truth is going to result in a civil war, even within a family. What we see here, where Jesus made the statement in John 15, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. We see an example of that in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, where Paul talked about, you know, don't get all worked up about these afflictions, because this is the kind of thing that we're appointed unto. That statement, this is what we're appointed unto, that statement is a statement for every single Christian who decides to take a stand for truth and not compromise. Jesus did not compromise. He used the law that he was fulfilling, and he confronted those who were supposed to be teaching the truth of the law with their error. And he showed them how that they were wrong, and they couldn't handle that. So what did they want to do? Kill him. Okay, now, let's move forward a couple of thousand years. How many times have you ever felt like people were turning against you because you were trying to share truth? How many times have you felt like friends or family have really made your life difficult because you're trying to take a stand for truth? Okay, now, what do you do? What are you going to do when your husband, wife, mom, dad, brother, sister, aunt, uncle, grandma, grandpa, son, daughter, essentially hold up a cross in your face and call you a devil? Now, they don't use those words, but sometimes don't you wonder if that's not what they're thinking? What are you going to do? Okay, what is your immediate reaction? Well, generally, what's the immediate reaction? To try and keep peace, is it not? Well, you know, we can't have this kind of strife in our relationship. Whatever the relationship would be, you know, parent, child, spouses, whatever the relationship would be, we can't have this strife. We've got to have peace in the home. And if you go to a counselor, what are they going to try and do for you? Seriously, think about this. What is the purpose of a marriage counselor? It's to help put an end to the strife, is it not? Now, I know this is going to, for some, like, I'm treading on thin ice right here, okay? And I know it. That's what a marriage counselor is. Why else would people go to such a person?
We need to put an end to our differences.
Well, okay, go to a counselor. Counsel, 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 counsel. Well, you need to have a little give along with your take, and you need to have a little give along with your take. Okay. Where's the line? Counselor, where's the line? What do I do? Well, you don't need to be so dogmatic about your beliefs. Guys, what I'm telling you is right. You don't need to be so dogmatic about your beliefs. You need to be a little more understanding about the fact that he or she doesn't believe like you do. And therefore, you need to be a little more understanding about the fact that, you know, they see things differently. And the two of you need to come to a compromise. Am I getting a witness? Yeah. In other words, if you want peace, regardless of what the specific relationship, I just use the example of marriage, okay? But regardless of what the relationship would be, if you want peace, what you're told to do is compromise. Okay, now, let me ask you a question. What's being compromised in the process? Truth. That's what's being compromised. Because if you take a dogmatic stand, and I'm not talking about where you just purposely attack people with the truth, okay? That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you take a... Jesus, look at the example of Jesus. He did not beat people over the head with truth. He simply taught. And the only time that he really got hot under the robe was when people began attacking him. And then he would turn around and expose their hypocrisy with truth. You people, you hypocrites, you say this, you say this, and yet you're the ones that are breaking the law. And here's how you're breaking the law. Summa, blah, blah. And he just laid on to them. He didn't go start the trouble. They were the ones that started the trouble. And you know what they wanted him to do? Compromise. That's what they wanted Jesus to do. And if he had compromised, do you think his life would have been a lot easier? Well, as far as the relationship with them was concerned, yeah. But not as far as his relationship with God. Jesus, he said, look, now I'm paraphrasing. He says, listen, all due respect, but you know, I didn't come to do your will. I came to do the will of him that sent me, to finish his work. And you know, I'm giving you guys truth, and you're not taking the time to find out if what I'm telling you is right or wrong. And they didn't. Some of them did. Nicodemus, some of the others, they did. But most of them didn't. They refused to find out if what he was saying was true. You know why? Because they were unwilling to compromise. But what was it they were standing up for? Wrong doctrine. What was it Jesus was standing up for? Truth. Okay, now here we are today. We have these head-butting clashes in our relationships with people. You know, I can remember one time I was talking to somebody who's very, very close to me, and they were making some statements about something. So I sat there and I listened and let them keep talking for a few minutes. And I finally spoke up and I said, how bad do you really want to know? And I'm purposely avoiding the specifics of this conversation. And I made a comment about it. You know what? Just like that, they shifted gears and went and talked about something else. They didn't want to talk about it. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. No matter who you are here tonight, if you have someone in your family who just will not listen, no matter what, they refuse to get into the Word to check things out, you might as well get it settled in your heart that you cannot argue them into truth. Remember when Jesus debated with those Pharisees? I mean, the debates didn't last, you know, hours and hours. Well, they might have outlasted a while, but in other words, he didn't argue the Pharisees into truth. You know what he did? He just went and died on the cross. He said, you guys can do what you want. Here's truth. Here's what's going to happen. Here are the prophecies. They spoke of me. This is what's coming to pass. Like it or not, I'm doing this. And you know what? Unbeknownst to them, they actually helped him. Crucify! Crucify! Thank you very much. Now I'm going to be able to accomplish that which I have been teaching you about for the last 3.5 years. Although I don't look forward to dying on the cross and bearing your sin, I'm going to do it anyway. Thing is, after I do it and I raise from the dead, you're still not going to accept me. My tomb will be empty. And to cover your backsides, you're going to bribe and pay off Roman soldiers to lie. So again, here we are today. And some of you have friends or family members that they are persecuting you, and they're persecuting you for righteousness' sake. See, that's the thing you've got to understand. They're persecuting you for righteousness' sake. And they think that you're the one that's messed up. They think that you're the one that's got the problem. And I can tell you right now what's going on without asking you to stand up and tell me what's going on. Because anytime somebody is continually persecute you for truth, it's because they are refusing to be teachable and get into God's Word to find out what is right and what's wrong. They're refusing to do it. They won't. They absolutely won't. And they're going to continue to persecute you until Jesus returns. You die, they die, or you guys go your separate ways. That's just the way it's going to be. Unless you compromise. Unless you compromise. Some folks don't like to come and talk to me. Well, I've had some people come to me, and you know one of the first things that they've said?
I know what you're going to say.
Well, so okay, I'll see you Sunday. Conversation over. They know what I'm going to say. I take that as maybe a compliment. I'm not going to compromise. And listen, I don't talk about it a whole lot, but my refusal to compromise has cost me. And I'll just, leave it at that. It's cost me things related to ministry. And that's it. But my refusal to compromise, and it's brought me into polite conflict with other ministers. Things that I don't talk about publicly, because there's no value in it. And it has separated me from the fellowship of other ministers. And it's not because I'm in some cases, people I've known for a long time. People that I used to fellowship with. And it's not because I'm trying to stir up trouble. It's just that, when you enter into a realm of truth and you make a decision that you're not going to compromise, you had better be prepared to be called names. Like stubborn and hard-headed and unwilling to compromise. That's what they'll say about you. Maybe even worse. And when you get together in certain settings, there'll be tension. You'll feel it. You'll know it. And even though the pleasantries will be spoken, you know what's there. But the worst thing that you can do is compromise. Paul said, listen, don't get worked up over these afflictions. One of the worst things that you can do is take this criticism personally. Even though for the most part, that's really what it is. I mean, some people say, well, it's not personal. Yeah, it is. Because if I weren't the one saying it, they wouldn't be saying those things to me. It is. It is personal. They don't want to be around me. They don't want to talk about these things. They don't want to hear these things shared. They don't want to discuss these matters. Because they know that the two of us are in disagreement. And the thing is, for me, and guys, listen, I told you before, I don't know it all. I'm still learning. I am still learning. But what I do know, I don't compromise. And sometimes, I just have to sit and listen. Because I know if I say something, it's the wrong time. Sometimes on the inside. Well, I was talking to somebody about something and, they were talking. I was listening. And I'm listening to them and on the inside I'm talking to the Lord. Okay, what do I say? What do I say? What do I say here? What do I say? And the Lord said, just sit there, be quiet, and don't say a word. Just let them talk. And he told me, as I was sitting there, he told me what was coming for them in the next few years. And it's not going to be good. Don't ask me who it was. And the reason is because of compromise. And sometimes I can't say anything because I know the Lord showing me, telling me, it's not going to make any difference. It'll just make it worse. So just sit there and listen. People that you're in conflict with right now, when I say conflict, I don't mean you're duking it out, but you know what I'm talking about. The persecution, it might be your brother, it might be your sister, it might be your mom or your dad, I don't know who it is. It might be, a very, very close friend that you used to run around with for years and years. But whoever it is that you're in conflict with right now, get it settled in your heart that if they refuse to accept truth, you're going to be in conflict with them forever until the Lord comes back. Because once we get to heaven, the conflict's going to be open over our eyes. All of us are going to be open to see where we've been wrong. And there's going to be a lot of correction up there. Praise the Lord. You say, Brother Martin, this almost sounds like a really depressing sermon. Well, no, I don't mean for it to be. What I'm trying to do is to encourage you to stand for truth and not compromise. Because the moment that you start compromising is the moment that you're actually going to start walking backward in your relationship with God. Yeah, but Brother Martin, what if it costs me my relationship with my son? Well, it might. It might. But what if it costs me my relationship with my daughter? What if it costs me my relationship with my wife or with my husband or with my mom or with my dad? It might. But we've seen this in the Word, have we not? Didn't Jesus tell us it could be like this? He's already warned us in the Word. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. And He warned us that we could end up having this kind of division within our own homes. Yeah, but Brother Martin, how am I supposed to handle that? How did Jesus handle it? For the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. The only way that He could endure the cross was to endure everything that led up to the cross. How can you stand and take it? You walk in the presence of the Lord. You refuse to compromise. Even if it costs you everything that you have. You say, yeah, but, you know, what if, you know, I get kicked out of the house? Benny Hinn, anybody read his book where he talks about how that he accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior and all, and his family, they were very opposed to that. They actually refused to let him sit down and eat at the table with them. Refused. He wasn't allowed to do that. You know what he did? He just went to his room and prayed. I mean, they didn't actually kick him out of the house, but they estranged him. You know, they wouldn't talk to him. They shunned him. He couldn't eat with them all of a sudden. How do you think that would make a person feel? And he wasn't a grown adult when all this happened. How do you think that would make a person feel? But you know what? He endured. Now look. And his family has come to Jesus. The ones that had turned against him have come to Jesus. But yet I'm not going to stand here and prophesy to you that if you take a stand for truth, all those who have persecuted you are going to get on the bandwagon of truth. I'm not going to prophesy that. What I'm going to say is this. If you will take your stand and not compromise, the day that you stand before the Lord, that's when you're going to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." It may cost you a lot here in this life, but yet we already know from the Word of God it will. When you begin to open your heart to receive from the Lord truth that He wants you to see, truth that He wants you to know, truth that He wants you to walk in, and that truth contradicts things maybe that you've heard in your life, but yet you make a choice to get rid of the stuff that goes against truth and embrace the revelation that He's giving to you, you have taken another step into His glory. When you do that, the people that are refusing, you've actually taken another step away from them. Now, it's not you don't reach out to them and don't love them. You know that. But you know what? They make it hard for you to love them. What I mean is hard to demonstrate the love. I mean, they can't keep you from loving them, but to make it hard to demonstrate the love. You want to reach out. Man, it's so frustrating. Because you know what you're walking in, and you know what you know, and you know what God has done in your life, and you so want them to experience this. And yet, they refuse. And then it's so aggravating because they actually act like you're stupid. They act like you're the dummy. They act like you're the ignoramus. They act like they're smarter than you. And sometimes it's all you can do to not walk in the flesh. Hallelujah. Just imagine how heartbreaking it was for Jesus, you know? If you knew me, if you knew my Father, you'd love me. And you don't. There are so many people in your life, Christians, they may never come to this church, ever. Even though you know what's waiting in store for them if they do. And you know what I mean by that. There are some people that you may share with them a tape from one of the services that you know is going to speak to them. You know it's going to speak to them. And they'll listen to it, and maybe they'll get through the whole sermon, turn it off, and either politely or impolitely let you know they don't want anything to do with me, this church, and now they're even wondering about you. It's not easy to deal with these things. This is why you have to be completely focused on Jesus Christ. Because when you set your face like a flint to be in His presence and to serve Him, even though the people who are closest to you may come against you and they may persecute you. Hey, listen, I've heard stories that, well, let's just put it like this. There's a lot of hard-heartedness, hard-headedness in the body of Christ that has caused so many problems that shouldn't have taken place if only the hard-hearted, hard-headed person would just call a personal timeout and just get in the Word and find out what's really going on. But they don't do it. They refuse. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear what you have to say. It's just like with Paul. There were Jews that had accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and they were born again, and yet they hammered Paul because he was preaching to the Gentiles. You can't do that. They're Gentiles. But they want to hear about Jesus. And Jesus died for them too. You can't do that. Who do you think you are, Paul? What's wrong with you? Nothing. I'm doing what the Lord told me to do. But I want you to look around this room. I just want you to look around and see some of the people that are here. Do you remember what Jesus said? Remember that one time where Jesus was teaching and some people came to Him and they said, Jesus, your mother and your brothers, they're out there for you. You remember what He said? Who are my mother? Who's my mother? Who are my brothers? These people. When you looked around this room just a few moments ago, you know what you saw? You saw your mother. You saw your father. You saw your brothers. You saw your sisters. You saw your sons. You saw your daughters. In other words, you saw your family. You saw people who are walking in fellowship with you. They may not live under the same roof as you, but you saw people that you can sit down at the dinner table with and you can have a common bond of fellowship. And you can talk about things. You can talk about the truth that you're walking in. You can talk about the grace that you're experiencing. You can talk about the mercy of God that you have embraced. You can talk about the truths that you have come to know and to understand. You can sit down and you can have conversations about these things, and you know that they're not going to throw something at you. You know they're not going to tell you to get up and go home. You know they're not going to get up and go sleep on the couch. Of course, probably better not be sleeping with you either. Hallelujah. But you know, you see what I'm saying? You've got like-hearted, like-minded people in this room with you right now. And if your family rejects you, if your family will have nothing to do with you, even if they're born again, even if they're born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, if they have nothing to do with you because they think you're out there on a limb, you know what you have? You have Jesus and you have us. And we're here for you. I'm here for you. The other people that are here for you. And those times when you feel like you just can't take it anymore, and those times when your family members and your close friends, the people that you love so much, and you would never turn your back on them, but yet it's like they're making your life miserable because they refuse to listen to truth. You know what? You just get out the church directory. You just start making a few phone calls and you just start talking to people that you know are walking on the same path as you. And when you get a phone call like that, You begin encouraging that person. You begin loving that person over the phone. You begin speaking truth into that person's life. And you be sure by the time that conversation is over that they know, you're there for them and that you love them. That's part of what it means to be a family. Our family, really, it's the body of Christ more than it's our blood family. And if our blood family is a part of the body of Christ, but they reject us, you know what? We still have each other. We still have Jesus. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Ever. Ever. So you've got people in this room tonight. When you looked around, you saw people in this room that you can talk to, people you can relate to, people that aren't going to turn you off, people that aren't going to reject you because of the truth that you're walking in. You may have to, depending upon your situation, you may be walking through the front door right back into a house full of people that reject you, but you know what? You can still, if you keep pressing into the presence of the Lord, you can still walk in peace. You can still walk in that grace and in that mercy. And the more that you develop in your relationship with Him, the more He's going to show you how to love these people. Even if they never turn, even if they go to their grave holding on with all those wrong doctrines and those traditions and that stuff that has kept them from walking further into glory, further into truth, you can still walk in peace in their presence and you can still know how to let God's love flow through you to touch them. It's not always easy, but I want you to be encouraged tonight to know that yes, they persecuted Jesus. Yes, they rejected Jesus. And they're going to persecute us and they're going to reject us. However, you still have a Savior who's not going to reject you. And you still have brothers and sisters in the Lord who are walking the same path as you. And we are here for you. Praise God. And I want you to know, I thank God for you. I mean that. Because I know, and I know that some of you are facing some real challenges as far as the things we've covered tonight. I know that. But man, I want to tell you, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. No matter how much persecution they level your way, you can make it. You can endure it. You can. You can. And when you feel like you're reaching your limit, you pick that phone up and you call somebody in this church and you talk to them. And every now and then, you might just pick up the phone and call somebody anyway. Just because. Just because. Because why? Because. Just because. To be an encouragement. Because you see, the further we go on the path of truth, the more we're going to be opening ourselves to persecution. And guys, listen. When the books start coming out and are being distributed, I can tell you right now, there's going to be a lot of popular doctrine that's going to be even more exposed for what it is. Exposed for the truth that it is not. And when you start passing books out to people,
where did you get this? You believe this stuff?
Well, as a matter of fact, I do.
Well, ain't no nothing to it. Well, I showed this to my pastor and he said, don't read it no more. Stay away from that Martin fella and stay away from you too.
He can just look at him and smile and say, well, you know, it's kind of too late because you read the book and now you're accountable. I don't know. You might not want to put it just like that, especially if they're a punch you in the nose kind of person. But I want you to be encouraged tonight. Jesus already knew that you were going to go through persecution. He already knew that people were going to come against you. People in the body of Christ, they were going to persecute you for righteousness' sake. Listen, when somebody steals from you or whatever, that's not being persecuted for righteousness' sake. It's when you're taking a stand for truth and the persecution comes. That's being persecuted for righteousness' sake. That's suffering for righteousness' sake because you've drawn a line in the sand and you're saying, I'm not going to compromise my stand for truth. So you be encouraged tonight. Jesus already knew it was going to be like this. And no matter how much the people reject you, you've got people in this building here tonight that are not going to reject you. And you've got a Savior who's never going to turn His back on you. Praise the Lord. So be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And don't compromise. No matter what you do, don't compromise truth. Praise the Lord. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Praise the Lord. If you compromise truth, you're compromising freedom. Praise God. I serve a risen Savior. Hallelujah. Praise God.